Let's turn in our Bibles to Leviticus in chapter 7 for our scripture reading, our serial scripture reading this morning. And Leviticus in chapter 7, we'll be reading verses 1 through 38. And beginning in Leviticus 7, verse 1, these are God's words. Now this is the law of the guilt offering. It is most holy. In the place where they slay the burnt offering, they are to slay the guilt offering, and he shall sprinkle its blood around on the altar. Then he shall offer from it all its fat, the fat tail and the fat that covers the entrails, and the two kidneys with the fat that is on them, which is on the loins, and the lobe on the liver he shall remove with the kidneys. The priest shall offer them up in smoke on the altar as an offering by fire to the Lord. It is a guilt offering. Every male among the priests shall eat of it. It shall be eaten in a holy place. It is most holy. The guilt offering is like the sin offering. There is one law for them. The priest who makes atonement with it shall have it. Also the priest who presents any man's burnt offering, that priest shall have for himself the skin of the burnt offering which he has presented. Likewise, every grain offering that is baked in the oven and everything prepared in a pan or on a griddle shall belong to the priest who presents it. Every grain offering mixed with oil or dry shall belong to all the sons of Aaron, to all alike. Now this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings which shall be presented to the Lord. If he offers it by way of thanksgiving, then along with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, he shall offer unleavened cakes mixed with oil, and unleavened wafers spread with oil, and cakes of well-stirred fine flour mixed with oil. With the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving, he shall present his offering with cakes of leavened bread. Of this he shall present one of every offering as a contribution to the Lord. It shall belong to the priest who sprinkles the blood of the peace offerings. Now as for the flesh of the sacrifice of his thanksgiving peace offerings, it shall be eaten on the day of his offering. He shall not leave any of it until morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering is votive or a free will offering, it shall be eaten on the day that he offers his sacrifice, and on the next day what is left of it may be eaten. But what is left over from the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burned with fire. So if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering should ever be eaten on the third day, he who offers it will not be accepted, and it will not be reckoned to his benefit. It shall be an offensive thing, and the person who eats of it will bear his own iniquity. Also the flesh that touches anything unclean shall not be eaten. It shall be burned with fire. As for other flesh, anyone who is clean may eat such flesh. But the person who eats the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which belong to the Lord, in his uncleanness, that person shall be cut off from his people. When anyone touches anything unclean, whether human uncleanness or an unclean animal or any unclean detestable thing, and eats of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which belong to the Lord, that person shall be cut off from his people. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, you shall not eat any fat from an ox, a sheep, or a goat. Also the fat of an animal which dies and the fat of an animal torn by beasts may be put to any other use, but you must certainly not eat it. For whoever eats the fat of the animal from which an offering by fire is offered to the Lord, even the person who eats shall be cut off from his people. You are not to eat any blood, either of a bird or an animal, in any of your dwellings. Any person who eats any blood, even that person shall be cut off from his people. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, he who offers the sacrifice of his peace offerings to the Lord shall bring his offering to the Lord from the sacrifice of his peace offerings. His own hands are to bring offerings by fire to the Lord. He shall bring the fat with the breast that the breast may be presented as a wave offering before the Lord. The priest shall offer up the fat and smoke on the altar, and the breast shall belong to Aaron and his sons. You shall give the right thigh to the priest as a contribution from the sacrifices of your peace offerings. The one among the sons of Aaron who offers the blood of the peace offerings and the fat, the right thigh shall be his as his portion. For I have taken the breast of the wave offering and the thigh of the contribution from the sons of Israel from the sacrifices of their peace offerings and have given them to Aaron the priest and to his sons as their due forever from the sons of Israel. This is that which is consecrated to Aaron and that which is consecrated to his sons from the offerings by fire to the Lord in that day when he presented them to serve as priests to the Lord. These the Lord had commanded to be given them from the sons of Israel in the day that he appointed them. It is their due forever throughout their generations. This is the law of the burnt offering, the grain offering, and the sin offering, and the guilt offering, and the ordination offering, and the sacrifice of peace offerings, which the Lord commanded Moses at Mount Sinai, in the day that he commanded the sons of Israel to present their offerings to the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai. And those are God's words. So there we have given us, again, some context reminding us that Israel has been at Mount Sinai, at the foot of Mount Sinai, since Exodus, you remember. And all the way through that time to this point, and will continue at this same place for even going into Numbers, the book of Numbers. So chapter 7, this chapter, gives us further laws of those offerings that we've already covered. And sort of like adding more details to the general principle of the command that has come before. And so more clarity here is brought for the guilt offering, the burnt offering, the grain offering, and the peace offering. But let's focus on one part of the chapter that does come up in different parts of Scripture. From this point forward. And the first being that these people are, there are people in verses 22 through 27, you see, that are, it says, cut off from the people of Israel. That is, they are excommunicated from the house of Israel, from the people of God. And it gives two reasons why that is. First, for eating the fat of the sacrifice. And sometimes we ask the question, why is it that they can't eat the fat of the sacrifice? And we're shown that in other parts of Scripture because the fat was the choicest part in that culture at that time and in Scripture. The fat is the choicest part of the animal, the best part. And so that, beloved, the best part was to be given to whom? To God. And so you have already these sacrifices which are the clean animals, the best animals, being offered. And then the best part of the animal, the fat, is to be offered especially to the Lord. And no other part of the fat should be taken by the priest and partaken of and eaten. And so that's why they would be cut off. Because they would be essentially taking the best part away from God for his sacrifice. Remember, these sacrifices mostly dealing with the people's sin, and so atoning for their sin, at least a picture of it. And then the second reason they would be excommunicated is if they drank the blood, or it says here, eat the blood. If they drank the blood of these animals universally, it's not just the blood of the animals for the sacrifices, it's just blood of all the animals anywhere, anytime that you partake of them and you eat the meat, you are not to eat the blood. This has been true since Genesis 9:4. Blood, you remember, is life in Scripture. And life belongs to Yahweh, but especially in sacrifices, blood is used for the atonement. So no blood of any animal should be consumed. And we'll see that this principle of the life is in the blood in chapter 17 of this book. Because God gave blood for atonement, it is thus sacred. And this points, of course, to Christ. The life is in the blood, and his blood was poured out on the cross, symbolizing his death. And not just symbolizing his death, it was his death. And so here. The sacrifice offered, the blood sacrifice, is the animal's blood in place of the worshiper. It should be the worshiper's blood that's sacrificed because they've sinned, and yet they're offering the sacrifice as a substitute, as pointing to Christ. And so John Flavel said, in application to Christ, he said, you must lay hold of Christ, your blood sacrifice, and apply and appropriate Him to your own souls, He having been made a curse for you. God's people, let's pray. Our Father, we pray and plead now that You would cause us to turn to Your Son, Jesus Christ. We, like the people of Israel, have sinned. We've broken Your commandments. We have not loved You. We have not loved our neighbor as ourself. We have broken all 10 commandments. And so, Father, we ask that You would turn us from our sins, the evil, the flesh, the deeds of the body that remain within us. And You would turn us to Jesus Christ, that we would believe on Him, not only for our justification, but for our sanctification, that we will one day be glorified with Him in glory. Father, we realize that the gospel is proclaimed here in Leviticus through these sacrifices, and we are thankful that Christ died for our sins on that cursed tree because we sinned, and yet He who was without sin died for us. And so, Father, we exalt Him today on this, the Lord's Day, the day that not only do we celebrate the gospel generally, we celebrate His birth and life and death and His burial, which was the power of death. And yet, here on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, we celebrate the resurrection, that life that Christ has given to us in union with Him, as we've learned in Romans. And that not only have we died with Him as He died on the cross, but we are raised with Him as He rose from the dead. That guarantee that we have in union with Jesus Christ and secured and sealed by the Holy Spirit. Our Father, we're thankful for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ alone. And though we believe, we pray that You would help our unbelief, that You would sanctify our hearts, and that You would spur us on to putting to death the sin that remains, especially as we consider, again, Romans 8:13 this morning. Lord, teach us what it means to mortify our sin, mortify the deeds of the flesh and putting it to death. And Father, we do, of course, praise You for answering our prayers. We praise You for answering the prayers of for Jeannie this week and her medical procedure she had. We're thankful that You have healed bodies, and pray that You would continue to do that as we, in Your good providence, become sick, or of some of us who have continual bodily ailments because of the sin that's in this world. Father, we pray that You would uplift us and strengthen our weak bones, not only against sin, but for Your proclamation, that we would be able to serve and evangelize in a greater way as we are strengthened in our bodies to do. Though we are weak, we are thankful that You are our strength, and Your grace is sufficient. And Father, in our souls, we struggle every day with our sin. And so, Father, we ask that You would receive us for Christ's sake, and that You would work in us by Your Holy Spirit, that we would not grieve Him, but that You would work in us as we confess our sins, knowing that You are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness for Jesus Christ, His glory. Lord, forgive us of our sins and turn us from them unto You. that you would be worshipped and glorified all the more. For that is, we know, our ultimate purpose of being here, to glorify you and then also to enjoy you forever. And so as we put to death the sin and we put on righteousness, we ask that you would give us great joy in seeing how you're working in our lives and how you're working in each other's lives for the growth of your church. We praise you for that we have Christ as our King. He's not only King over the church, but over all nations. And so we pray that all would bow the knee to Him and kiss the Son. And these things we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.